country to? Who's it?
Kara
at the library. The library. Okay.
Nobody told me.
Today is February 28th, 2018. What is your name?
Mark Miley.
And yours?
Max Miley.
And where do you live?
We live at 3046 U.S. Highway 183, 17 miles southeast of Ashland.
Okay. And what is your occupation?
I'm a retired rancher homemaker.
Okay. Max?
I'm a retired banker and rancher.
Okay. And how old are you?
I'm 82.
I'm 81.
Okay. Now, when did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire?
When I got an alert on my telephone that said, evacuate Englewood. And I thought, what in the world?
That was the 6th.
Yeah, on the 6th, Monday the 6th.
Right, on March 6th, yes. And how did you first become aware of the fire?
Same time.
Got alerts on your... Did you go outside and look to see?
I don't know if we did right then, did we?
I don't know. Probably.
Yep. So when And then did you get the evacuate Ashland?
That's right, you did, on the phone, yeah.
And then did you start thinking we should do something?
Well, yeah, we should start looking. And... that's when we kind of drove up and down the highway to see.
So that could see. From where you live, there really wasn't any reason to evacuate yet, right?
Not yet.
Did the police officers come, county sheriff come by and tell you about the fire on Monday?
No.
Okay. When was the first time that you saw smoke and fire? On Tuesday?
On Tuesday, about mid-morning.
And where was it from your house?
It was west of our house, across the highway, and it was coming from the west.
Okay, so you live on the east side of Highway 183?
Right, about half mile down the lane.
Okay, and then...
You said it came from the west. We could see it on three sides. We could see the west. Maybe that was later in the evening, but we could see the north and we could see the east.
She's talking on Tuesday.
Yeah, but on Monday, you could see all that, right?
Yeah.
You could see it, but it wasn't anywhere close, right?
No, on Monday, we kept driving up and down the highway.
How far north did you go?
Oh, almost to Sitka. And
then how far south?
We didn't go south. There wasn't a fire there yet.
Just from your house?
Yeah.
So, and you could see the fire that was over by Ashland and, like, by Pikes and Randall?
We couldn't see the fire at Ashland. We could see the smoke.
And we could
see the fire north of Sitka. We didn't feel like going clear to Sitka.
Right.
And then we could see...
Over east.
East.
Quite big.
Way over on the horizon, we could see 9 fires on the horizon over there.
Were some of them, do you think, in Oklahoma?
Probably. Could have been. Although...
Yeah.
We're only 2.5 miles from the Oklahoma line. It could have been, but it wouldn't be very far in Oklahoma.
Right. And then so Tuesday when you started seeing fire, you saw it on the west. Did you also see it to the north and the east?
Yeah.
Because there was fire to your east.
We got up Tuesday morning. We saw it on three sides and nothing to the south of us. And we had electricity for a while, and we didn't have any water.
Do you know
so
when?
We went to Buffalo and ate lunch. We thought, I mean, breakfast. We thought we were safe.
Did you have any idea when you might have lost electricity?
Oh,
sometime Monday.
Monday.
Early in the evening, or?
Probably all day Monday.
Yeah, probably most of it.
Do you have a generator?
No.
So you went to Buffalo. Were you able to come back?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There wasn't anything south.
Okay.
We came back and happened to be a highway patrolman sitting up fairly close to our driveway. And Max stopped and talked to him, and I began to see these clouds in the west, you know, and I got a little nervous. And then he had some kind of a radar screen on his dash that could tell where the fires were. And he told us, he said, I have a new fire coming up from the west and no one to fight it. Because all the firemen are still trying to save Ashland and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you better get out of here.
So is that when you decided to evacuate?
Yes, we ran down to the house and grabbed some clothes and things, which we should have had all packed ready. We had a few things ready. But anyway, and then so we took off. And
do you know about what time it was Tuesday when you did that?
Probably 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Could you see the flames coming toward the highway then?
Yeah.
We saw them coming towards the highway, and by the time we got, I took a suitcase out to throw in the trunk of the car. Man, it was at our yard. And it had crossed the highway. Of course, the grass isn't very tall.
Right.
So it came around our house on three sides. I went back in. I said, "Martin, grab everything you want. We're getting out of here." And she says, "Okay."
So it had it pretty much surrounded your house before you left?
It had. Hadn't got on the
east side.
That's right.
We had it on the other, on two sides, and the north side, it didn't get clear of the house.
Do you have trees around your house?
We have them on the north side. What saved our tree row, though, we had an ice storm last winter, and we just had it all cleared out. And Stan Hazen come, and he cleared it all out so there wasn't a bunch of brush down there. We didn't have much damage in that tree row. Now there's another tree row that's not close to the house. It's on the south. We had a lot of damage there.
So when you evacuated, you went south. That was the only choice you had?
We went south. We knew that that was clear, and so we turned south, but the fire was jumping the highway at that time. So we drove through flames of about 30 feet or something, you know, because it really was coming in. And then we were safe, and we stayed in Woodward a couple of nights. And some people thought that our house had gone because they saw some sudden poofs of smoke or fire, and it was probably a wood pile or something, you know, but we didn't have any damage to our house.
So when people told you that they thought your house wasn't there, what were your thoughts that went through your head?
Well, we'd already called. I'd already called Mark Lucky and asked him what was going on, and he said it was okay. In fact, he and Jim Barth and his son-in-law and maybe Jesse and I don't know who all came and watered down some things at our house after the bulk of the fire had gone through. And when that fire crept up to our house, it was like a black, just black on the ground. It was just like something you see in the movies that just kind of comes in fast, you know. And we thought, oh, my goodness.
So it was mostly small flames, not really the big jumping flames that they had like at West.
Not around the house, but it was out in the pasture and down, you know, where when we crossed the highway.
We don't have any bushes near our house.
Right.
We took them out for the wrong reason, primarily just kind of like varmints under the bushes near the house.
Yeah.
We did that a long time ago, and that saved us.
So did you have any cattle that were yours that were in your pastures? Or do you have any wheat fields around your house?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nearby.
Close.
A mile away. Yeah.
So did you not come back till you had electricity? Was that part of the reason you were down there?
We came back a little before we had it, but we thought we'd get it pretty soon.
Yeah.
So what were your first thoughts when you were driving back from Woodward and saw all the burnt?
Well, you know, we had an interesting thing. We had a real perspective on that fire that most people didn't have. 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning, our son called us and said his grandson, who was married to a gal, what's the family name?
Everett.
Everett.
Mm-hmm.
And
from Texas.
He's married to Catherine Everett. And her brother was one of the kids burned up down in...
They got caught in the fire in Texas.
Yeah, those three people. And we got that word at 8 o'clock Tuesday morning. So I didn't give a rip about the house.
Right.
My daughter called when we were in Woodard and said, "Well, you should have made a list." I said, "The only one thing I wanted out of that house is your mother, and I got her." So we weren't concerned when they said our house went. It was okay with us. Kind of wherever your perspective is, and ours was, we're just dead and glad they can have our house.
Yeah.
But we didn't lose anything, and the main thing that kind of surprised us, that house wasn't smoky.
It wasn't?
No, we didn't have any smoke in the house, smoke damage or smell, not in the closets. It's amazing. Our house is kind of tight. It's kind of an adobe or stucco and cement.
And so how close did the fire actually get to your house? Was it right to your doorstep?
It came right up to the foundation on three sides.
Right
up to the porch, cement porch.
Did they have to fix, like, electrical lines to your house or anything like that?
The only damage we had was the TV
antenna
deal came down and went underground. Mm-hmm. It burned the cable about 6 inches. We didn't have any TV. And mm-hmm. they came out and fixed that. That's the only damage we had at the house.
Nothing to like a water pump or... No. So your water and your electricity came back fine. Yeah. Just not the TV. Yeah. What's your most vivid memory of the fire?
I think mine is that rolling smoke. Rolling and boiling. Just boiling. You know, brown and orange and white and, you know, coming in on us that day. That's probably my most vivid.
Yeah, we were driving out before we got out of our yard. We were driving through smoke. You'd have to see outside. And once you get out of our yard, we went a little further south. And the road from our house to the highway, we mowed. It was like a lawn, but it was, the grass was only 4 or 5 inches long. So it wasn't a lot of smoke once we kind of got south far enough. But when this, I guess what got me was the speed with which that stuff came. Because mm-hmm. when I saw it up at the highway patrol, he pointed it out, and we looked over there and saw it. I thought, well, we probably got 15, 20, 30 minutes. I'm not kidding you. We had 5 minutes, whatever we threw in our suitcase, and I went out and put one suitcase in and looked. Man, it's there.
So how was the wind? Was it blowing as fast as it was Monday, or...
It was,
Was it kicking up?
The wind was really blowing hard, yes.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Well, our house, we lost our shingles on the house.
Right.
By the dozens. You know, we've lost a shingle or two in the 30 years we've lived there.
Yes.
And when we drove out, we looked back, the shingles that didn't go off were up like this.
Right.
Instead of down, they were up just, not the whole thing, but what, 20% of our shingles were up, and probably 5%. Ended up on the ground.
Yep.
And so it was blowing hard, or we wouldn't have lost that many shingles.
Yeah, yep. Really hard. So did you have anyone come help you?
We didn't need any
volunteers that came, and did you lose fences and stuff?
Afterwards?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, one day we had some people come and help with us.
I think we had two different times that we had some people that came, and a variety of ages, a mother and a young boy and some teenagers, and they helped in the tree row a little bit, trying to clean out some of that stuff.
Yep. So you guys have both lived out here a long time and seen lots of different prairie fires or grass fires, and probably seen some controlled burns too. Is there any comparison between this fire and what is traditionally a prairie fire?
No. I think this was so much worse because it was, this wind was blowing so hard and it was rolling in so fast, and just, it's something we've never seen. It moved so fast.
I don't know either. I'd have to say, you know, when you look east out of our house, you go a long ways, and there's our horizon is, I don't know, if we can see, what, 5 miles, 4 miles, I don't know.
Oh, no, probably 10.
Yeah, a long way.
Long ways.
And just to see those fires, there was 9 of them, you know, it'd be a space. Now, just to tell you how far we've seen a glow when Beverly York's daughter,
Kenna Jackson,
called her mother one time, maybe just a few months before that or something,
right,
and said, we may have to evacuate over here. She's about 20 miles from us and about the same distance from the Oklahoma line.
Right.
And so Beverly called and told us. We looked out our window. We could see the glow.
Right.
And we didn't see any flames.
Uh-huh.
Now this time, there'd be a fire and then a space and a fire, and there was 9 of them. We could see on the horizon.
And you could actually see the flames instead of just the glow?
See the flames.
See the flames.
Nine different spots. I don't know what was in between them, but there they were, and it was kind of amazing.
Yeah,
we took turns Monday night, kind of staying awake, and we'd go drive up and down the highway and look out and see it, and we took some pictures, and also we met some of our neighbors along the road that were watching also, Jenny and Jamie Hart, and we saw one fire that was coming down the ditch a little bit south of Sitka, and it wasn't too far from Beverly York's house, so I called it in, and I said, does anybody know that that we have a fire coming down the ditch? And she said, yes, we do, but I don't have anybody to fight it. We found out later that Kenny Domi and Jamie Hart got their tractors and discs and, you know, plowed around and saved it. And Beverly has a propane tank sitting in her yard.
Oh, that's right.
And so I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, but they took care of it.
So Monday evening, you know, you're seeing all these fires around and everything, and you're staying up and watching it. How did that affect your emotions? Were you too up to sleep, or did you think you were going to have to leave, or what were some of your thoughts?
Naive as to how bad it was. Yeah, that seems silly, but I don't know. I never was panicked about it. Never was concerned other than what would have happened. I was more concerned than electricity or water.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was bad.
We were watching it, you know, but our kids had called us and said, evacuate, go to Buffalo. Well, we found out later that Buffalo evacuated.
Yes.
So we were probably all right just to sit where we were at that time.
Tuesday, when you went to Woodward, did you have any trouble getting down there? Because they had those fires over by Laverne that were coming that way.
They'd had.
We saw where they were when we went to Woodward, but the fire
they was already out.
East or someplace. We didn't.
Yeah.
We
nothing
didn't
close.
Any trouble after we left the ranch. Did
yeah.
We?
No.
Except right there, just a quarter mile from our entrance or something. We went through the. It's the only time we went through flames, and the flames were. Like she said, it wasn't a big distance. We could see the other side. We weren't going into anything. We just went through it.
Yeah. So when you returned, did you see any of the strike teams that had come to help? Were there any fires still burning down in your area of the county?
Well, like I said, the Mark Lucky and the Barths and some others came and kind of watered down some things. But when we came home, there was a group that were watering down the tree row south of our house. And we stopped, and I asked the man where he was from, and he said Emporia. And he said, I went around and felt all of your trees north of the house to see if there was any, you know, fire, anything burning, and there wasn't. So he thought we were safe.
So did you go to town and eat, like, at the high school when they offered meals, or go to the camp when the volunteers were there?
We were at the camp when the volunteers were there, but not to eat.
We took some things.
Else one, yeah. One day, maybe two. They have a few people left over, and, you know, and the younger people were out doing a lot of stuff. We had a lady that was in her 60s, and she had her grandson, and he was 7. But they were kind of close to the house and wondered if they could come. And I said, yeah, you're not too far from our house, and our house is in good shape. You can come over there and rest. And then we had a couple of teenagers that I don't know how they got with us, and her daughter was going to be with us, and she went with another group. She says we had two groups, and we did. The two guys that were working, able to do a lot of work for us, went someplace else the next day. I know that because I told them, if you get a chance to go someplace else, go with them. Because our tree road, that's not a big deal.
So that was basically what they were doing, was working on your tree road?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any fences close to your house that needed to be
we had some
taken down?
We lost almost all our fences and pastures.
Mm-hmm. And were there cattle in your pastures?
Yeah, but they weren't ours.
They weren't ours. They were Mark Lucky's.
Did they lose any of them?
I think they had moved them. I think he had moved them off to the wheat. And
he didn't lose any.
There were. I think he had 13 cows, older cows, on our place just out behind the house. And we had 3 horses at the time.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know where they went, but they were all fine.
Yeah.
Probably went to the wheat field, maybe.
Well, they hadn't been up by the barn. The barn didn't go.
No, yeah. The barn didn't go.
So you didn't lose any outside structures?
No, we
just
didn't.
Shingles off your roof and
electricity. And all those fence posts.
When they were feeding people at town and at the Christian camp, and then they closed that, and then they moved to the Methodist church, did you get in on volunteering to help make some of those meals or donate food or anything?
No, we took some cookies and something else. I can't remember. At one time
we went to, for some reason, we brought back a ton of donuts from.
Ooh,
yeah,
yeah.
And a ton, two big boxes of donuts. That's about all we did up there.
Yeah. So, who were some of the people or agencies that were most helpful during the fire or after the fire that you know about?
We got some financial help from the.
Did you take advantage of that community foundation
initially?
KLA.
I said, "Well, I can take care of it." And they said, "Well, it's Kansas Livestock Association and the
Ashland Foundation
and the community
foundation." They said, "That's what everybody tells us." He said, "These people that donate, they don't want to go into all the one person. So put your name in. If you got 6 miles of fence." Somebody else got 100, they're going to get more than you are, but mm-hmm. you ought to get something. And we did. We got some from both foundation, from the foundation and from the Livestock Association. After we got paid for the fence and everything, I sent that much money back to both of them. I mean, I appreciated what they'd done. Right. I had enough money to pay it, and so I just sent it back.
Did you take advantage of any of the donated barbed wire or fencing material that came? Did you use any of that?
I think maybe when we built the fences, we hired Mark Lucky to do it because he was having to do his too.
Right.
I think he put some posts in ours that I hadn't seen before, and I said, "Where did you get those?" And he said they were donated. Uh-huh. But I just hired him to handle it, and he had to get people to handle his own, and he had some of his ranch that wasn't damaged.
Right.
And so, but he had about 3 crews working, and I don't know that they got any hay. If they did, Mark never told me. He would have.
Mm-hmm.
But I know he got some posts because I said, "Where do you get those posts?" And that's what he told me. So, that's about all I can tell you.
You've been able to replace all your fences and you're back 100%.
The
pastures have kind of come back.
Yeah. The weeds have come back too. Everything's dry again.
Can you perceive of anything positive that resulted from the fire?
I think it gave everybody a new perspective on community and life. You know, it's a pretty hard lesson to learn, but I'll tell you, there's lots of places in the world that have a lot worse things than we had, and we were very. You know, it didn't really matter to us whatever happened, just so we didn't lose life.
And our story is very small compared to others that lost, like the Giles 3 houses and the, mm-hmm. and the gardeners and, you know, all the livestock and everything. And ours is just a very small story, but it was kind of scary at the time.
Yeah.
One thing that impressed me, though, is all the hay that rolled into town and all the volunteers. And where they were from, you know, way off, and it was just amazing. It was
just. People we had were from Pennsylvania and Michigan, weren't they? The groups that. I think they were from Michigan.
Michigan, and then we had the other group was Nebraska, I think.
Nebraska, yeah.
Anyway, but And then it was a nice, impressive story that Steve Hazen took a load of hay to Montana when they had their fires,
right.
as, you know, reciprocal. And I thought, people are just great. I wanted to write to Donald Trump and say, America is great out here.
Yeah. So what effect is physical, financial, emotional? Which one or all of them have been the most effective on the community? And what's the long-term effect of the fire, in your opinion, you know?
Physical, emotional, or
financial.
Financial.
I think we're going to have the effects of this fire around for a long time.
I think the physical we've taken care of. You know, I mean, so you talk emotional. I don't know.
Those that lost the most, probably emotional.
And but I've talked to, you know, they're as positive as anybody.
I mean,
you know, part of life and. Kind of blows you away initially, and then, well, let's dig in, and it's done. And
And I don't know about financial or for other people what they had, and ours turned out pretty well.
And what about the community? Do you think financially we'll be okay?
Oh yeah.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. We have a lot of other things affecting the economics of the community. Other than that, you know, it's just
one of the
drought,
things.
For example, right now,
yeah.
Some other things. So the community's going to be okay. They're close. And, you know, I don't want people to think that we're a special community because I know in those hurricanes and stuff where they had a lot of damage in the city and stuff, people pulled together. Mm-hmm. I got a cousin in Houston that called me during this, and I called him when he was underwater down there. And, you know, I mean, there was a lot of help every place. And people pulled together in one disaster. They're all together. So,
yep. So
nice to see it, but it's there. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Unexpected, though, wasn't it? To have all those people come from different areas.
It was.
And, you know, and I guess most of it they picked up on social media, you know, Facebook mm-hmm. and those kind of things and where they got the word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, there's lots going on at that time. The world wouldn't even heard about our, you know, and hurricanes and
right. Other
things. But, yeah, it's amazing. And some of their tales, you need to talk to some of them. Well, I don't know where you go to find them.
We're hoping.
You know?
So what can you do or have you done to prepare for another future fire or emergency? Have some things that you said, next time we'll do this?
Next time, I think, if we have any lead time, we'll probably have our suitcase better packed, you know, to go.
Yep.
But I double-checked to be sure that I was still on the emergency list to call on the phone.
Right.
Because where we live, that when without electricity and water and, you know, everything, we're not sure what's going on. That gives me the perspective. And they do a weather call, too. So
right. That's
neat.
Yep. So what about the community? Preparing for another emergency?
Well, I think in talking to people, firefighters, and watching what they're saying on TV is they're learning now that when they get a fire, they're going to hit it with everything. You know, all kind of communities are coming in. That's what I'm picking up. They're not going to just have one community out there, particularly in this dry deal we have now. Mm-hmm. So if we get a fire at our house, I expect that Buffalo will show up, a National will show up, Englewood will show up, maybe protection. I mean, the whole world's coming to get that out before it gets out of hand. And I think we learned something there, and they did. And we've had a fire at our place one other time, though, and Buffalo was there, and Ashton was there, and I'm not too sure the protection wasn't there. But I know Buffalo was, because I know one of the guys in Buffalo. And it was a windy day. If it had got away, it could have been a disaster, too. Never figure out how that started. But so, I think communities are better prepared. I mean, you know, nobody wanted that to happen. So best thing to get them is get them when they're small and hit them hard.
Yep.
And I'm sure the people that were in charge of EMS and the Christian camp and so forth, they've learned some things, and they're going to be ready next time. They did a good job this time, but they'll be more ready next time, I think, because now they know kind of what's going on and what to do. And
better prepared.
Better prepared, yeah.
So it's kind of interesting. We used to live in Canyon City, Colorado, and we have a son that's there. And so I saw two fire trucks from Canyon City, Colorado. Just saw them go by, you know. Know anything about them. And I thought, well, if I can catch them someplace, I'll talk to them. But I never did. I told my son about it, and he didn't know who was there, but he bumped into one of them someplace.
Uh-huh.
He called and he said, those people thought this was the greatest community in the world. So they were well treated. So they want to move there.
Yeah.
Man, they did. I mean, this.
Yeah. They were taken care of, well fed.
Yeah. He said, man, that was fantastic. They're used to fighting forest fires.
So we did a good job here. Our community did.
These kind of fires. I heard that from other people, but that's pretty direct.
Yep, that is. So do you have any other thoughts about this experience you'd like to share?
Gosh, I think we've probably done it, shared it all.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for sharing your experience with us, and we hope that we don't have to do it again.
Yeah. Well, you did a good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.